When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was just looking the other day how great Jim Halpert's face or Halloween costumes are, and how they're like, they're so perfect and so funny and also like kind of annoying that like he's really phoning it in. Actually,
he is phoning it in. Yeah, he's like he's not doing an outfit, but you're still like,
but it's also like, but like you really phoned it in and clearly didn't care and somehow are like still doing it the best.
Well, because three hole punch gym is fun because they work at a paper company. It's like,
right. Like three hole punch gym. It's like, that's not a thing. There's no such thing.
Right.
You just put three circles on you, man.
And wear your same blue shirt.
Facebook. You just wrote a word on your face.
Okay. Here is a question that I think is interesting, because we've talked before in the past about which TV personality quiz are you?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like one of those things where it's like, obviously you can't put that much stock into it, but it's also interesting because if you so desire, you can contribute to the algorithm that helps decide how these characters are being assessed.
Uh-huh.
And as such, it's like, it does feel like there's a lot of data points being injected from a lot of, you know, individuals who all sort of are like giving you the final rough thing or whatever. And when I've done it in the past, I have gotten two of my all-time favorite characters as my results, which is Jim Halpert and Ted Lasso.
Right.
And what's interesting about that is like, do those characters in particular resonate with me because apparently I share like their values or mm-hmm. approach to life or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Because like when, like I like glow with pride, like at the
thinking about that.
Like, yeah, it's like, I feel like sometimes it's like if I'm having a hard day, I'd be like, don't forget, Ben, that quiz told you. You were Ted Lasso.
You're Ted Lasso.
And it's like
this
okay.
is what this is. Like, we should take this quiz on behalf of each other and see what we come up with.
Oh, that
because
would be
I feel
very
like quizzes like this. It's like part of it. Like there's certain people who would be able to take it and get an extremely honest answer about it because like their personality matches with the way in which the quiz is being presented. But if you're the sort of person who's just like really critical of themselves, it might come. You might have a question that's like, are you more like wholesome or more hateful? And you'll be like even if you're extremely wholesome, you'll be like, I just. I'm maybe more like a 60 or something.
Oh, sure, you know, sure.
Like,
yep.
Like
yep.
you might misassess yourself.
This is like, I may possibly is a thing, but sometimes I think like peer reviewed therapy is something that could be like somewhat beneficial. Like almost where part of going to therapy is like informing like your closest loved ones, like, hey, someone is going to be reaching out to you to like offer a questionnaire to give them a better image of how you as an individual are being received by mm-hmm. the people in your life and whether or not your version of the story, like this set of events is aligning with what they're saying. Because everybody, when you go into therapy, everybody has their own bias. So you are always telling it from your perspective.
Oh,
and
I
how
know.
Objective are you about the situation?
You're very not objective.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like I'm sure there's so many therapists who meet with their other therapist friends and they're like, I hear stories from this one guy and either he's got the worst life ever or he's just, you know, full of it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is oftentimes my problem in these sessions is that I will spend just a huge amount of time like going through like one singular incident and attempting to tell it from like eight different perspectives mm-hmm. to be like, well, now maybe they saw it this way for these reasons and maybe they saw it this way for these reasons. And
right.
then I felt it this way for these reasons, which I found to be valid.
Well, hopefully you know, your therapist is just analyzing you practicing that and being like, okay, so his real issue is the way in which he has to cover 1,000 bases to make even a single point.
Yes. Which the funny thing right now, I was telling you this over lunch today, but I'm currently rewatching The Good Place and there's this running gag all throughout that like moral philosophy professors are like the worst at least for season one, because one of the characters, Chidi, that is like what he did during his life on Earth was he's a moral philosophy professor and like that's how he landed in, you know, the air quotes Good Place. But like when you see all of his flashbacks, like what he was like on Earth, like on Earth, he like constantly was like having like these struggles where he was never able to like press forward in life because he was always so stuck like trying to make a decision between this or that.
Yeah.
And then like even like once he did, oftentimes he felt felt like he needed to like follow up or make an apology or like go to like this nth degree to like apologize to somebody or like make something right or whatever. And I'm like, oh no.
Right.
I'm like, oh man. I Chidi is a character. The first time I watched this like 4 years ago, it's like, I don't think I related to Chidi. Yeah. And like, as time has passed,
this guy's
I'm like,
insufferable.
I know. It's like, oh gosh, is that me?
Like, oh no.
Oh no.
It's me.
Anyway. So, yeah. So maybe what we'll do before some other week's episode is we will take each other's TV personality quiz for each other and see what our results are.
That'd
be
interesting.
And then we'll share them and contrast them with our own results.
I know. Wow. It'd be crazy if we got the same ones.
It would be so wild.
It would be wild.
So yeah. Anyway, keep you posted. We'll also link to that quiz in the description down below. But otherwise, transition?
Yeah. Well, we didn't even really start.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Am I even really here though? You know, I just lit this candle between us.
Oh yes.
I know. I was transported. That.
Transported to where?
Transported to Camp Powhatan, Boy Scouts.
Whoa.
I know.
So this is circa like 1998?
Yeah, somewhere in there, 98, 97, somewhere in there. It was like, what's? I only bring it up. You think this is going to be a sell for our candles, which it's not.
by the way, we have candles.
By the way, it's not. It's not that this smells like Boy Scout camp. It was like, what's funny is that I light the candle in here every single week. As part of setting up the set before we record. And I always use a match if possible, because okay. I mean, matches are just fun.
Oh, yeah,
I think matches are clearly the superior choice to lighters in almost every way, except that, you know, you have to figure out what to do with the matchstick and you might burn yourself. But like the act of striking a match, so fun.
Dude,
I love it.
There's something like in fantasy novels where like they occasionally will like pick up like a fat sulfur match or something like that. Yeah. I'm just like, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want one of those matches. That's like, that was like made from like rough hewn lumber or something like that. Instead of like these like little balsa wood matchsticks. It's like mm-hmm. clearly back in the day they were dipping like hardcore like wood.
Yeah.
You know, like it's got some like heft.
Got some heft to it.
Anyway, so continue though.
Yeah. So anyway, whatever it was about lighting this candle today, I went to go do the light, and upon lighting it, the smell that struck me, which the candle is supposed to smell like poison apple or just apples in general. It's really just apples. It's themed. It will not poison you.
Yeah, exactly.
CarlinBrothersMercantile.com.
Good clarification.
Yeah. We do. They're definitely not poison candles.
This is like
it says that in big letters at the top.
Definitely not poison. Yeah.
Definitely not poison.
Like in parentheses, definitely not a trick. Yeah. No, but seriously, I'm not kidding. I feel this like, is a safe candle.
I feel like the parentheses are making it feel like they are poison. Crap.
Yeah. All of this is included in our warning label.
There you go.
Enjoy.
But so for whatever reason, the smoke from the match hit me and I was transported back, and all it's amazing to me how a smell can hit you years later and you're like, I'm here, I'm there. I'm unpacking my bag, I'm in that green canvas tent, I'm setting it up, I'm getting ready to sleep on a cot for a week. It's gonna be great.
You're in the place where it happens.
I'm in the place where it happens, man. Dude, I remember, Camp Powhatan. What a place. What memories.
I know,
what
dude.
What times.
Man, this trip in particular, it's really interesting because when we were kids, you were older enough than me, and I didn't do Scouts quite as early as you did.
Not quite as hardcore.
Definitely not quite as hardcore.
Which is to say, I didn't even make it to Eagle Scout.
Oh, man.
We moved.
I know. What were you supposed to do?
I was on track, man. I was running that troop.
You were Order of the Arrow.
I was Order of the Arrow. I got tapped out.
I know. It was pretty cool.
Whatever.
But anyway, so when we were little kids, I had a myriad of moments in my life where like they all stood out to me where like my concern like for you was so like massive. Mm. And the whole premise of my best man speech is I was intending to give it at your wedding was to like outline these moments and then sort of like be so eternally grateful to Beth, who I now knew was going to be able to forever take care of you. And I wasn't going to have to like hold such concern because like y'all's relationship would be so powerful and all the rest and everything. And the problem is that I know it was really, I promise I cried anyway is the problem. So I ended up getting almost nothing out. whatsoever because I got like 40 seconds into this speech and was just sobbing in front of like all of our friends and family.
It was
just
hilarious. Like, everyone was crying with laughter.
There was this little kid who didn't laugh out loud, which was honestly very helpful. I feel like it like broke it just enough. So I think I have it written down on my phone. I hope it's still in there somewhere.
Was there a kid?
There was a little kid, I believe, that like laughed, and I was like, "Thank you for laughing. That made me feel better."
You know what? I think it must. I think that child's name was also Benjamin. For what it's worth,
is it really? Yes. How about that?
Yeah. What do you know? Anyway.
Yeah, an absolutely remarkable thing. Yeah. No, I'm literally looking at the book on our bookshelf from Hank Green. It's titled "An Absolutely Remarkable Thing." As I said that out loud, in case anybody was like, "Wait a second, I know those words in a line." But what's funny to me is that when I was a little kid, I remember that I believe the first time you ever went to this particular camp. Me and you still had a room that we shared together.
Okay.
In our childhood home. And, the first or second night, I believe that you were gone, there was like a hurricane grade storm that came through our area, and like the house was being absolutely obliterated. And I had not yet attended the camp to see that like the canvas tents that you guys slept in were quite, I mean, they weren't like massive or anything like that, but they were pretty substantial tents.
Yeah, for sure.
Like on like little deck platforms.
Were they were like on little deck platforms. Yeah.
Okay. But like, so I remember just like, it wasn't like I was scared of the storm myself from inside of the safety of our home, but I remember being like terrified, like on your behalf. And I was like Jonathan is out in the storm right now, Mom. And like he's not going to be okay. What if something happens? And I mean, I was just like, the fear that bubbled out of me was so massive. Like, I can't even tell you, like, I can go back, like in the way that you've been transported back telling the story, I can feel the terror.
Yeah. Boy, it's interesting that like that's your memory. Cause I remember the first time I went to this specific camp, dad, like a lot of parents will come as well, but dad can only come for like, I think like the first night or something.
Okay.
So he was going to be there for one night, and then you're there for like the rest of the week, but you know, he was going to be there for at least that long. And I remember the first night was great. And then the second day I was feeling like super like homesick, or was like super worried about it or something.
Yeah.
And definitely. Then I remember like when he left, he actually made it all. I went with him and I like came home and like slept that night in bed. And I was like, I guess I'm just, and then, you know, in my mind, I was just done with the camp for the whole, you know, the whole experience. Like, sure. I was out and I woke up the next morning and Mom and Dad were basically like, all right, we're bringing you back.
Oh, wow. No way. I do not remember this. So that's interesting. Yeah.
So, and I was like, I remember being like very apprehensive about it and very worried. I remember feeling pretty homesick the whole week, but I did go back and I did make it. But like, that's my memory of the first week of Camp Powhatan ever that I went to. Cause I remember I went back. And so I was there a little bit later in the day. So like all the activities had started. So they had to like send me down to, I think it was swimming. Was the very first thing that I had to go do when I got back. And the lake at Camp Powhatan is famously cold.
Oh,
like,
geez.
So cold. It is, God, just really. We know how I am with like just really cold water.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Going back to last year's about this time, Linville Gorge hike, where you got like paralyzed with feet cold.
I think that's been more of an adult thing, honestly. I just remember having to get in the water and it just being terrible about that. And then there's another aspect of the camp though, where every single morning they do like a polar bear swim, I guess because they know the water's cold.
Okay.
But like, if you want to, anyone could just wake up, I think at like 6 a.m. and go down and do like a swim across the lake and come back as like, hey, we did the polar plunge or whatever.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, so it does sound pretty fun, and as an adult, I would probably, you know, go do it. I don't think I ever did it when I was a kid.
I think
it sounded like too intimidating to me at the time.
It impresses me at that age that kids were like, "Yeah, I'll get up at 6 a.m. and go do a polar plunge."
Oh,
like,
I know. Yeah,
I am in like one of two camps. Either I would be the person leading the charge. I mean, like, guys, we're all going to do it. It's going to be so much fun. Everybody's going to get up. I'm going to be knocking on your tent first thing in the morning. I'll see you then. Okay, good night.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would be like the one like shying away in the corner, being like, "Please, nobody said they're going to do it. Please, nobody said they're going to do it." Like, I don't want to be the one who has to do it. I don't want to be involved.
Yep.
Like, it's so fun. I noticed the number of times in my life where it's like, if I'm the person who is is encouraging the activity, like doing like the ice bath on the roof here at the office or something, it's like, yeah, okay, I got this. Like, it's fun to like encourage other people. But when I'm the one who is like on the reception of that encouragement, a lot of times I like shut down. Yeah. So anyway,
oh dear.
But so again, I still feel like I don't know if we totally got into your story about Camp Powhatan or if this is the story, which is,
I don't know. The story was just that I couldn't believe the smell brought me so viscerally back there.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was like a place, and we went back like every single summer. It was like a very cool, I remember it being like a really fun camp, and was always really impressed with all like the stuff there. And then I remember when, so we talked, at one point in my scout life, I got tapped out, which means you get like certain Boy Scout like camp jamboree type things where there'll be a bunch of troops at a single place.
Yep.
Like they will have an event where the troops there will vote for people in their troop that will be tapped out into the Order of the Arrow or whatever, which is where you get this like cool white sash with a big red arrow on it.
It is really
and
neat. Yeah.
I got selected by my troop, which even when I think back on it, I'm like, what not? That was so cool of them. Thanks guys.
That was cool. It's even a cool concept to sort of like, to like, you know, instill into kids at this age is like, it's just that idea of like being like, hey guys, like, you know, like, is there anybody amongst you who you believe like fits the values associated with this honor, and like that they have to then assess their like their fellow troopmates, you know, in this capacity and be like who does kind of have those values. Like, you know what, that Jonathan Carlin kid, he really does.
Yeah, me and my buddy Alex both got tapped at that particular one. But so then when you get tapped out, you have to go complete what is known as an ordeal, which is like then a separate camping weekend in the future, which for us was held at Camp Powhatan. And I remember like, what you're doing there as part of your ordeal is setting the camp up for the rest of the summer for all the other campers to come in.
Nice.
It's like you get there and there's all these like, you know, very nice giant green canvas tents set up. And it's like, oh yeah, guess who set these up? It's
not like, you know,
it's like, oh, it's all the scouts who got tapped out. But it's quite an experience, because part of it is that it's supposed to be difficult. So when you get there, you have to do like a 24-hour like vow of silence or something.
Okay, that's one of the details I remember.
You're not supposed to talk the entire time,
Was it true that your rations were like a cup of raisins?
They are not big rations. Yes.
Okay. There is
like a little assembly thing in the morning. They kind of tell you what you're going to do and they sort of pass out breakfast. And it's not like, if you go to there for regular camp, there's like a mess hall and a cafeteria, and you get like a regular, you know, tray of food.
Yes.
So when you're here for this, they passed out like half an egg sandwich and a cup of raisins. Yeah. And it was like, here you go. This is what you'll be eating today. So it's not a lot to go on. Who wants to do manual labor?
Which, you know what the really funny thing is that like I've known about this ordeal in my entire life. I always thought that you were standing in like blistering heat in like a desert wasteland where you were carrying like heavy rocks from one end of like this like arena area to another.
Oh, like, yeah, it's not like purposeless labor.
Yeah, but like literally in my head, and like this is like what I believed you to be doing as a small child, which I'm sure was informed by like cartoons or something like that. But like despite the fact that I have now grown to be an adult, I have still always I've always imagined this weekend of your life to have appeared in the way that my childhood brain had invented it.
Right.
And so like, you're telling me this story now and I'm almost like, I did not know that you were at a camp.
Yeah.
I thought you were in a barren wasteland.
No, I was at a camp.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what you have to do. I remember we had to set up a lot of tents, which also is like, the real difficult thing is that you can't talk, because, you know, it takes four or five people to set up one of the tents at a time.
Okay.
And so you're having to do it. But, you know, one, you don't necessarily know how to do it because it's not like self-explanatory. And then two, you can't talk to anyone about how to do it because you can't talk. That's part of it.
Sure.
And then the other half of it is that the first night you get out there, you have to go spend alone in the woods, which is, I know, this was another
one of those things in my mind where it's like, I've always assumed that you just like literally like slept encompassed by spiders. spiders.
Yeah. I mean, well, so what they do is you're all like walking along this sort of like gravel path, and it's like already super dark out there. So, I mean, you've got like flashlights and stuff, but like every 20 or 40 feet or so, they'll just sort of choose the next kid in line and just be and just sort of like shove you off into the side of the woods. And they'll be like, all right, we'll be back in the morning, you know?
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, I don't even know how late it is when you get there, but it's like, it's so late that and you're carrying like a sleeping bag and a tarp, and then you've got like your backpack with whatever else you might have in it, like flashlight, whatever. So you get out there and it's like there's really nothing to do. It's not like you have to like fend for yourself or make a fire or anything.
Sure.
It's basically just like lay your tarp down, put your sleeping bag on your tarp, sleep, wake up in the morning. So you're probably out there for like maybe 6 hours or something, you know.
Sure,
it's
sure,
like
sure, sure.
It's out like, of course, when you're going into it as a kid, you're like, oh, this is gonna be, I'm gonna be roughing it out there all by myself. And it's like the reality is you're like 20 feet away from another kid in either direction.
Sure.
And the other reality, which I had no bearing of, is that absolutely there are adults making sure nothing bad happens to you, you
right
know?
Right. Well, I was gonna say, like, even now to this day, like when we did our backpacking trip last year, one of the discussions we had as a group, because it was going to be the four of us going across the GMA, was like, it would be like an interesting thought, instead of everybody bringing individual tents, to get like one of these like super lightweight like flies, which is just like a big piece of waterproof fabric that you would basically like drape over top of like a tie line and create essentially like a you know, like an overhead shelter, and then have another one that you sleep on the ground.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, even as we were like discussing this as an option for how we would go about doing it, I was like, I hope I'm not on the outside. Like oh. of the four of us who would be like lined up sleeping on top of this tarp, there's like this part of me that's like even as a grown adult, even with like a can of bear spray, you know, like tucked above my head or something like that in the event of like disaster or something bad happening. You know, it's like, I was still pretty like preemptively like, you know what? I would rather be one of the two in the middle rather than one of the two on the outs, because there's like then just like a small extra layer of like, okay, I'm at least surrounded on both sides. Like, I've got something.
Well, it's interesting that in your mind, that's how we would lay in the tent that way. In my mind, all four people would be lined up such that like all four heads and all four feet were facing the entrance and exit.
Well, I don't even know that there's a tent, because there's no walls. There's just a roof and a floor in this situation.
Well, I mean, you'd have like the tie line, and then it would come down to the ground, right?
Well, it would. Yeah, I guess it would approximately come down to the ground, but it would still be like open ended, like,
yeah, on two ends.
On two ends.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So you're imagining there's one person laying horizontal to the outside on either side. So there are two people in the middle that are not exposed to the outside edges at all.
Exactly.
Right. I'm imagining everyone's 90 degrees the other way.
Okay.
So all four people are just have their head towards the exit.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. That works too. That works too. Yeah. That, I mean, and maybe that would have been better. All I'm really trying to say is that that's me as a 33-year-old adult, and this was you as like a 11-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So like,
well,
and you
were, don't call it an ordeal for nothing.
That's
babe,
right. You know? That's right. I mean, maybe you just got like toughened in a way. That,
yeah. So I did. Anyway, I did it. I did the 24 hours with no talking, and you know, I lived off the rations, and I made some tents, and I slept in the woods, and it was all good. I made it.
You made it. You're still here today.
I got it. Hooray!
It's so great. The other thing that trickled across my brain as you were telling this story is that I feel like the night that you were tapped out or whatever to go and you know, be selected for this particular event, I was there. And the other fun thing about that, I think you called it a jamboree. Big camping weekend where all the different like scout troops were there, and like at night a lot of times like the troops will go on and like put on a show of some kind, like a skit.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I ever saw sidewalk climbing,
which classic.
I suspect you are probably better at regaling folks with the story, but have always found it to be like one of the funniest things ever. It's
dude,
like the humor
the skits at Boy Scout, like, yeah, jamboree camp things are like, I can't even tell you the ways in which they informed even some of the humor in our family for now still
right
years later. Actually, I remember Yeah, so basically this is like a big, if you were in Boy Scouts, there's almost no way you didn't see one of these things if you went to like one of these big camping events. And just like at night, there's normally some giant bonfire and everyone gathers around and they just put on these, yeah, very silly skits. And sometimes it would be like every troop would come up and do one. So you'd have to like think of something. And yeah. Sometimes it'd be more like the people who organized it just sort of did all of them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was just sort of it. But oh my gosh, there were three in particular that really always stood out to me. One was, of course, sidewalk climbing, probably the goat, you know?
Oh, it has to be like,
it's so good. It's like the amount of like, there's such like light production value to it, but the surprise is so great.
Yes. Yeah. Can you tell it?
I'll tell it. Yes, so basically you just have this guy just crawling on the ground and he's normally holding two sticks. And he's just like, you know, putting one stick on the floor and like grabbing forward and then another stick and he's grunting and he's going. And then someone will walk up to him and be like, dude, what are you doing? And he'd be like, oh, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm sidewalk climbing. And they'd be like, sidewalk climbing? What are you talking about? And of course, they're walking right next to him
on the
sidewalk as one does. Like, there's no need to climb a sidewalk because it's the floor, because it's the ground. And they're like, okay, whatever. And so he, you know, moves a few more feet up and then another person walks up and says, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just sidewalk climbing, you know, I've been going at it all day. And they're like, okay, whatever. And he goes a little bit further and the third person walks up and they'd be like, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm sidewalk climbing. And he'll go, sidewalk climbing, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And he'll yank the sticks out of his hand. But what you don't expect is that they've put like ropes around the guy's like legs or whatever, so as soon as he lets go of the sticks, he falls. So and like, he gets like dragged away as if he was truly sidewalk climbing and the sticks were genuinely holding him up.
Yes, it's like I remember just being like just absolutely gut busting with laughter. It's like so when the guy funny. Just goes shooting in the other direction, and you're like, wait a second,
hey, that's hilarious. I always remember that one was extremely good. The other one that like our whatever specifically stuck with our dad for. Ever was you have this guy and he's like camping out in the woods and he keeps having visitors come by and they've had a long day on the road and they're wondering if you know, do you mind if I share a meal with you, do you have anything you could spare? And so, you know, guy one comes up and he's like, oh yeah, sure, here you go. And he says, these dishes they look a little maybe a little dirty. Are they, you sure, you know, are they safe to eat off of? And he's like, oh, they've been cleaned by three rivers. And it's like, oh, okay, well, if you say so. And then they eat the meal and, you know, thanks so much, you know, kind sir. And they walk off and, you know, they do that once or twice. And then, you know, after the third guy comes and eats his meals and is assured that the plates have been cleaned by three rivers, you know, they're so clean. I love the idea that this guy is going to three separate rivers and then I'm washing the plate again.
I have traveled long and far to ensure the cleanliness of
why did wash it in the same river three times? Doesn't matter.
Right, yeah.
The point is, there's no rivers at all. He just, you know, finally whistles at the end and calls his dog over, and the dog's name is Three Rivers.
Yep.
So yeah, he just like, keeps cleaning.
Three Rivers, here, boy!
Yeah. So, I mean, I cannot even tell you the number of times we have joked about the plates being cleaned by Three Rivers.
I mean, like, yeah, it's like, it probably happened at, like, the last time our family was together. It was like, oh, not to worry.
Yeah. Yeah, because like, oh yeah, got a little feud scrap, just feed it to the dog. Three Rivers will get it. You know, it's just that one's been there forever. And then this is the one, there was one where we all had to like, you were like asked, I guess they went around. This is the one I actually got tapped out at, where they went around and asked like, do you guys want to put on a skit or whatever tonight? And I remember having seen this one before and thinking it was just hilarious. And I was like, guys, let's do it. I have it. And, you know, then you have to like teach everyone all the parts and stuff. And then I imagine now, like if I was doing this and this is one of those things where, like, I was the one who's like, it was my idea and I was the one who'd seen it and I had to tell everyone what to do.
Jay, this is why you're tapped out.
This is basically it. And now, like, I can imagine, like, I even think about it now and I'm like, why weren't you concerned that someone else was going to do this one? Why were you so sure it was going to be funny? Like, this could have been so embarrassing, you know. And I'm like, no, younger you really understood it was way better. Good for younger you. But this one was just called Raiders from the North, and basically you'd have two people sleeping just next to each other having a regular camp, and you know, you'd have these four people on like they'd have like a square around them and all yell out like Raiders from the North, Raiders from the South, East, West, or whatever. And then you'd all rush in and you'd just, you know, pretend to kick one of the guys a bunch of times and then like take his stuff and run away. And he'd wake up his buddy and be like, oh my God, wake up. Someone just attacked me. Like, what do we got to move? The guy would be like, what are you talking about? You think someone attacked? No, they did not. Like, what a dumb response. like, why wouldn't they wake me up? I guess basically. And he's like, just go back to sleep. He's like, fine, fine, whatever. And then you do it again. You come and kick the same guy and he wakes his buddy up and he's like, oh my God, I'm serious. I just got attacked again. How are you sleeping through this? He's like, fine, fine. Look, look, we're just fine. If just please go back to sleep. Look, I'll switch places with you. Would that make you feel better? It's like, fine. Yes, let's switch places. And then you come in and you know, you do it the third time and you look down and you're like, wait, we already got this guy. Let's get him. And then you get the same guy again. So that's the whole skit.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's like they all do like a great job of like subverting your expectations. Where it's just sort of like you operate under the belief that sidewalk climbing, not a real thing. Although to your surprise, it is.
It is.
You operate under the belief that Three Rivers are three actual rivers, mm-hmm. and it's an extensive way to ensure the cleanliness of the plates. However, it is not.
Yeah.
Once again, it's like there's the guy who just keeps getting beat up, and it's like, wait a second, we already got this guy.
Yeah. Oh man, so yeah, man, I haven't thought about those skits in so long.
Good times. So who'd have thought that when you lit your match for lighting our candle today,
memory lane took up half the podcast.
What are we gonna talk about today?
I don't
know. No idea. Yeah, lights match. I've got it.
Why do we even prepare things?
I know. Good point.
Well, there you go. If you have, if you were ever at Boy Scouts and you guys did campfire skits, please let me know what were some of your favorites or the ones that you put on.
Or if you've ever heard any of
them. Or if you've ever seen those before. Yes, yeah. I'd be even happier to know that other people had seen these because I feel like there's probably 50 of them.
I was going to say, like, it wouldn't even surprise me if like you've just gone to other summer camps before and seen these same skits.
Because they're all
so short. They're all so simple. They all are like incredibly easy to like remember like what you're supposed to say and do. So it's exactly what you said. It's like such minimal production value. But when you have that moment happen where the sidewalk climber goes racing away, it's just
always funny.
It was so easy to do that.
I'm sure you're right. Yeah, I bet these show up at summer camps all over the place. I'm not sure if it's limited to Boy Scouts, but like I remember like Baby Shark. I remember when we went to 4-H camp, like that was like a camp song thing.
Yes.
You would do. And I feel like anymore they'll never get away with that again. Because Baby Shark has now been adopted so hard by like little kid YouTube.
Yes, it absolutely and most certainly has. My funny quick anecdote on that is that when we were coming home from Vermont earlier this year, we were passing Mom and Dad who were on their way up to Vermont, and we actually passed each other on Interstate 81 at like a Cracker Barrel or something like that. So we went in to just like have like a quick lunch with them because we're on the interstate and it was right there and easy. And Mom and Dad bought Addie like this like little toy Baby Shark. Like it's technically a candy dispenser, but Addie has no idea of that.
Right, yeah.
So like she just presses the button and listens to it say like Baby Shark.
Yeah.
But like whenever she does it gets stuck in my brain so badly
that
I will just start like walking around the house and I'll be like singing like Baby Shark or humming it or something. And Allie every single time just like she looks at me and she's like, it got you again.
Got you again.
Like, it does it every time. Yeah. I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just so catchy.
Luke cannot stand when songs get stuck in my head.
Oh,
like,
really?
Which, I mean, it'll happen, especially like the Bluey theme song gets stuck in my head all the time.
Yeah.
You know, just be like absentmindedly like driving him somewhere and I'll just be like humming it all of a sudden and be like, why are you singing that? And I'll be like, I don't know. It's just stuck in my head. And be like, just stop. Like, I'm sorry. And then like I'll genuinely try not to. Or like 30 seconds later, I'll just do it again. He'd be like, stop it. I'm honestly not trying to.
I know. I get this. This would always happen to me whenever I learned like a new sound, like whistling, for example, was like the first thing I ever learned how to do. But like, I remember like when I learned how to whistle, I was so excited because Dad used to whistle for us in like our soccer games and stuff like that. And to this day, I am still like slightly worried about the fact that I don't have an extremely loud whistle that I can do.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Dad could do this like horse whistle thing. It was one of those things where I was like, I'll figure that out eventually. I'm going to get to it. And like, there have been times in my life where I've really tried and I'm like, I've never gotten it.
I'm the exact same. Yeah.
Don't know how he does it.
Right. Like he doesn't have to, does he put his fingers in? I don't think he does.
No. Nope.
He can just do it like sort of like, That was a terrible example because it barely made any noise. But the point is that like whenever we would like score a goal in a soccer game as a kid or something like that, like you always knew dad was watching because you could hear the whistle just over like everything else. And it was this like really
very
like,
loud.
Yeah. Super cool. But it was also like a very like special thing. Mm-hmm. And so like when I slowly like started to learn how to whistle as a kid, I remember feeling like I have just accomplished this. I mean, to me, it almost felt like getting my driver's license, but like at age five, mm-hmm. you know, where it was like I have such new ability and freedom and like capacity, you know, in this world, in that I now know how to whistle. Like I have like started my process of achieving like, you know, dad status eventually. And so what I would do is I would just start like whistling all the time. And I was trying really, really hard to whistle really, really loud, specifically because that was like dad's whistle. And I was like, I can never figure out how he gets it to be so loud.
Yeah.
And so like I would whistle and all I would be doing, like I wouldn't be like whistling a song. I would just like blow air out and attempt to make it louder and louder and louder. And as I was getting better and better and better at doing it, it was like, well, like it was so irritating to everyone else, but I was like fully captivated with this process. Like I was very invested in doing it, but it also kind of became this like secondary thing that I started doing like in a semi uncontrollable way.
Yeah. Just
was, like,
whistling loud.
Right. It's just like an impulse that I have. And like, so I feel like the number of times I got like, you know, chastised as a kid for, it's like, Ben, you have got to stop whistling. It's like, sorry.
Right. That's sorry. Okay. I'm not even aware I'm doing
it. I'm just trying to better myself for my future kids. That's all.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
But it does occur to me now that, you know, like Addie is going to turn 2 this month. Holy butts. That's just,
wow.
That just hit me like
Do
a ton
feel
of bricks.
Old?
A little bit. Yeah. But like, I mean, I've got like 3 years before I need to know how to whistle really loud.
I know. Right. Well, let me tell you, this is what made me, you were talking about how this was like a skill dad had that you feel like, absolutely, I need to figure this out before I can, you know, dad or whatever.
Yeah.
Another skill that fell under this was spinning a ball on your finger.
Yeah. Don't even get me started.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even get me started. Guess what I can't do still?
Oh, man. It was one of those things that you're like, our dad could do it so well, like as a kid, just spin the ball on her finger. And I mean, I'm sure if you're in like any sort of basketball family at all, like everyone can just do it and it's great or whatever.
Sure.
But
yeah.
It
feels like if you're in that realm, it's just like a party trick that you know how to do. Although I would say the exact same thing that I also can't do is I have ridden like mountain bikes like for hundreds of hours. I still cannot ride a bike with no hands.
Oh,
to this day.
Oh, interesting.
Still
okay.
Can't do it.
I have a story about that.
Okay. We'll come back to it.
Okay. So yeah, this was, when I worked back at the concert venue, we would have the Globetrotters come all the time. And so we often would have like these extra basketballs, like sort of like as, you know, merchandise or whatever that we could use to promote the show just sort of around the office. And so I always had one in my office that was completely signed by the entire team which was pretty cool, but I didn't, you know, don't really care. And so I was like, whenever I would like need to like think about stuff or like walk around or just like try and like sort stuff out, I would hold it and I would like practice spinning the ball on my finger. And it was like having like, if you like, sometimes I'd have to drive them around and they would show you the ball that they carry around with them from like, you know, press thing to press thing. They are spinning the ball so aggressive that they're like drilling holes in it with their finger.
That's
which
wild.
Is crazy. But like when I saw that, I was like, oh man, that's so cool. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to drill a hole in a ball because I spun it so much. And like, that was the first time it occurred to me that there was like a best spot on the ball to do it.
Okay.
But they told me, so if you want to know, it's the spot where all the lines meet, tenue, yeah. If
sort
you will.
Of, sort yeah. of makes sense. Oh, hey, nice. Name of the wind reference.
Name of the wind reference.
Bingo.
You're welcome, bingo. Yeah, so all the spots meet. That's where it'll spin the most and where you can kind of consistently do it. And I got pretty good at it. That's like my party trick now.
That's good.
So like Luke this past weekend had for the first time ever just had like a friend come over. Like we've had plenty of play dates where like, you know, parents come over and bring their kids and, you know, the moms hang out and the kids go play or whatever. But this was just like mom showed up, dropped kid off, left. So it's like just us and the other kid.
Right.
You know, which was a first for us. But while they were there, there was a basketball upstairs in our house and I was like spinning it. And you could tell this is a real crowd pleaser for children.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
like my kids have seen me do it 1,000 times. But like Luke's buddy, it was just like, whoa, you know, I was like, oh, excellent. Yes.
Yes.
I've got a trick.
I know.
I've got a thing I can do.
Because it's like when you think back to our own childhood and witnessing like our dad or other dads or parents or whatever, just doing stuff that was neat or cool or fun or awesome or whatever. You know, it's like, you don't really think that like they like left that day and they were like, yes, I did a cool thing. Like,
yeah,
right.
Or you know, did they?
Or did they? Yeah. That's like the question. Like, you know, you had a friend whose dad's name was Butch, you know, it's like, did Butch walk away from that situation and be like, totally just made those kids there. Totally just
did it. Totally did it. Probably did.
Yeah.
I imagine so.
Yeah. So anyway.
That's cool stuff they taught.
Right.
Yeah.
But so that's also very interesting as well, because like, do you remember as a kid, like what age you were or what it was like going over to a friend's house to like go play for the first time? Because like at some point in your childhood, this just starts to become like par for the course. And it's just like how you spend your free time or weekends.
I know. Well, I'm like wondering. So I don't remember like the specific first time it ever happened.
Okay.
Well, it must have been in like preschool though, because there was the family we used to go to the beach with all the time.
Yeah.
They had a daughter who was my age and we went to like preschool together. And I don't think their mom worked, but our mom had like a part-time job. So I think there was a lot of times where,
she might go over there.
Yeah. Like she would pick me and her daughter up and we would like just go hang out at their house for a while.
Okay.
So it was like a half babysitting, half just play with your friend for a little while. So that is what I think. I remember Happy Meals. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
There we go. I remember getting the Happy Meals after Tykes.
You know what's interesting about that is that like also in preschool for me was a kid that I met, like, you know, when I was like in the 3-year-old program, 4-year-old program or whatever, who was like my first ever friend. His name was John and was neighbors with your people, like
crazy,
literally next door neighbors, like not like three houses down, like the next house over. Yeah. So I spent like a lot. We both spent a lot of time at the end of that street.
Yes, we sure did. So that's kind of funny. But you said you cannot ride a bike without holding onto the handlebars.
No, I can't. And like I have tried on numerous occasions, and I'm not gonna lie to you, like I mean, I would call myself like semi-proficient on a mountain bike.
Sure.
Like, you know, I'm not like all pro or anything like that, but like I can go off a jump. You know? Like stuff like that. I mean, I can like, you know, climb a mountain and stuff.
Yeah.
But cannot under any circumstances on a dead straight road with nobody around for a mile, cannot ride with no hands.
Wow. Well, I think this is weirdly, you'd think like, because like they say, it's like riding a bike, you never forget. And it's like, as soon as you know, you can always ride a bike, you can always find the balance again and just keep moving.
Right.
But like, I do remember there was a period of time when, in our childhood where, I would ride the street we lived on as kids had like a hill, and then there was a flat section. That's where our house was. And then there was another hill.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So I would ride my bike to the top of the hill and I would point the bike down and I would go right down the middle and I could just go the whole way. No hands at all.
Wow.
And I would ride it down the hill and I could go like side to side. I could steer.
Whoa.
And I was like, I remember just like, you know, I remember feeling so cool. Like I've totally got this. And like, as an adult, I cannot do it.
You know? No way.
Yeah. Like,
oh,
I can sort of do it. I can kind of go there, but I do not have like the confidence to go down a hill and just like cruise and like lean left and right and try and maneuver the bike. Like no chance at all. Like in that moment, I knew the name of riding a bike without the handlebars, you know?
And like have since lost it.
And well, I've lost the,
if anything, this maybe makes me feel better, because the reason this was even like somewhat on my mind is because there's like a group of kids in my neighborhood who have slowly, like, you know, since I've lived there, I've sort of like watched them grow up from being like really small to like being bigger. And they have like started like rolling around in like their little like bike gang and stuff, which is adorable. Cause it's like a lot of like what we did as kids, but they will come blitzing down our street, like almost like racing each other, like with no hands.
Yeah.
And I'm just sort of like, what?
I know. I wonder if there's something about like the center of gravity when you're a child.
Like maybe it's
that makes it
smaller,
like a little bit easier or something. Not that like there's obviously plenty of adults who can do this, no problem, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
I also wonder if there's something about like a kid's bike. Like kids' bikes tend to be like a little bit heavier. You know, I think my bike now weighs less than my bike as a kid.
Yeah, no, you know? I would agree with that. Yeah, because we kind of have like something.
So they might be a little bit more like grounded or more like stable because they're heavier.
Could be it.
That makes sense. I don't know. I'm making up a lot of excuses for myself, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's we pretty much have to at this point. Yeah,
you know
it's
what?
Like, it's otherwise inexcusable.
It's not me.
Right.
Yeah, it's the equipment. I'm bigger.
Right. A good craftsman always blames his tools. Yeah, that's
exactly
what they say. No, but I had a slightly similar instance over the weekend where Alice and I, one of the things that Alice very frequently wants to do, and this like ends up being like a mini debate amongst us, but like I think a lot of we have bikes, so we have like Allie has like a gravel bike, which is kind of like a sort of beefy looking road bike, if you will.
Yeah.
And then we both have mountain bikes as well. And like when I want to go mountain or biking, what I usually mean is out on trails. And when she wants to go biking, what she normally wants to do is just sort of like go coast through the neighborhoods. And you know, usually for me, I'm sort of like, well, like I don't know. Like, I mean, is that really like are we really like getting it? Like, is it like exercise? Like, are we really like, you know, like, or are we just going to go and like, is it kind of just like going for a walk except for we're like on bikes instead?
Right.
I don't know why I have such a resistance to it. Like, even as I'm describing it, I'm like, this just sounds delightful. like, what you mean just casually go coast around and have a good time? Like, yeah, what could be bad about that? But anyway, we got, we did go over this past weekend. We got like one of the back of the bike car seats for Addison to ride in. So on Sunday morning, we got up, we rode our bike to one of our favorite nearby restaurants that does a brunch. We, you know, so like we rolled up, we parked our bikes, locked them up, whatever. We went in, we had our brunch, and like we hadn't ridden in a while. And so like when we're on our way back, Hallie was like, man, I'm getting really tired. And she had Addie on the back of her bike, which adds an extra 30 pounds.
Right.
You know, so like and it's all downhill on the way to the brunch spot and then all uphill on the way back.
Yep.
So we're like about halfway back and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm really struggling. I was like, well, do you want to trade? Like, you know, cause I'm fine. I feel good. You know, like I'm not carrying, you know, Addy or anything. And she's like, yeah, let's go ahead and trade. So I like, I pop over and I'm sort of like, you know, all confident, like, all right, this is gonna be no big deal. Like Addy, like, let's go. And, I immediately like, I roll through like an intersection and I find myself at like the bottom of like what is about to be like a, you know, not like a super steep hill, but like a somewhat steep hill. And my instinct on doing this is to jump out of the saddle, stand up on the bike and start like sort of like, you know, really doing like a standing pedal, like you might see in the Tour de France or something like that. Here in the foothills of Roanoke.
Right.
But the big thing is that when you have Addy on the back, every single one of those shifts,
the weight
is being tossed drastically. So I have been piloting Addy for every bit of like 50 feet.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like Allie has done an amazing job of keeping, you know, Addy like really upright, like nice, smooth, coasting, like all the rest. Within 50 feet, I'm like throwing Addy back and forth. I almost go down on the bike with Addy.
Wow.
You know, which would mean like, you know, she now is like in an she's harnessed in and everything and has a helmet on, and I have a helmet on, but like, I mean, it would just mean she would just tip over onto the sidewalk that we were on, you know, which would not be good. And so it's just like, oh my gosh. But then as soon as I've started the shimmy, it's like, now I need to undo it. Now I need to fix the back and forth. And I can't.
Right.
Because every time I lean one way, she's going the other way.
Yeah.
And so it's like getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm like, I went from like completely fine to profusely sweating. And then of course Addie's back there and like her poor little head's just sort of like, you know, like with her helmets on, it's like kind of like tipping back and forth between the panels on the side and stuff. And so I'm freaking out. But the hilarious part was I got to like the top of the, you know, top of the hill, and I've recentered my balance and everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. Addie, are you okay? And she's like, I'm okay. Like, she's like, she has no idea anything went happened. She's like,
that was just fun, Dad.
That was just fun.
Yep.
It was really cute. But anyway, yeah. So still can't ride with no hands though.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah, probably shouldn't do that with Addy in the back.
Oh, 100% not.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, even if you were good at it, it feels like it just takes a kid like slamming themselves to the side or something, and
you had to account for
that all of a sudden.
Don't ever learn how to do it when you've got someone else's center of gravity that can also contribute to your circumstances. So
no gusta.
Anyway, transition.
Transition. Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid. kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see. But you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/poppop.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health, or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Oh man, Jay. Okay, so since last week's episode, we have begun the grand TikTok experiment of 2023.
Oh man, here we go. Yes, we have. We have so far we've been hitting every day. We've got, I think we're only 4 days in as of recording.
As of recording, yeah.
So we've got 4 days in. We've got 4 TikToks up. You know, we're doing it.
We're doing it. Yeah. So it's been, I feel like this is just like one of those things, like that as we press forward, it'll be very well. This is like my issue, like with like journaling as well.
Yeah.
Is that like I get to the end of the day and I'm like, you know, what type of like what am I even gonna write down that's gonna be important to me tomorrow? And I'm like, you know, you get to like the next day, you're like, what can I even write down? It's like even changed since yesterday. And like so on and so forth and whatever. But then like whenever you get like 3 years away from those journal entries and you go back and look at them, you're like, oh my gosh, like look at that. I forgot look that was happening. I used to be so stressed about this thing that I'm not stressed about anymore. Like, what growth? But like this is the problem with data sometimes, is that like I think a lot of times when you have such a small sample size, nothing feels worth regarding at all, because you're sort of like, nothing has really happened. Like, what is there to report? Like, you know. But so anyway, I'm going to try to resist that urge This is even vlogging, I think you could say. I mean, it's the exact same thing as journaling, just you're videotaping it instead. But like a lot of times you're like what am I even doing at this stage of my life that like is that interesting that's worth like taking a video of and like keeping as a keepsake?
Yeah.
You know, but then like you go through like all the various phases of like your childhood and or your kids growing up rather at this point, and half the time it's like, oh my gosh, like we like, you know, this time last year, Addie wasn't even like walking yet, you know? So it's like so much has changed, like in that amount
of time.
Lots of
tiny little milestones.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, you don't notice them because they're all just sort of coming at you. But anyway, so we're 4 days in, 4 TikToks up so far. I think each TikTok has done better than the one the day before it
so far,
which has been pretty cool. Yep. Nice to see that they seem to be feeding into the algorithm well enough that they're still being distributed,
right?
Rather consistently. We've also picked up, I think, 1,000 followers.
We'll take it.
I think we started with like 243. We're now at like 244.
Whoa!
So, boom!
Ba-boom!
You know, so early stat points. Here's where we're at.
Here we go.
We're just tracking
you know,
as we go.
This is one data point. You know. Oh.
I believe that this is the national alert, which I bet just freaked everybody out.
There we go. There's mine. This is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System.
Man, if you are watching on video, you just saw me properly freak out.
Properly.
That just like it gave me such a case of the jumpies.
Whew. We all survived. We made it. Test complete.
Test complete. In case you were wondering, that happened on October 4th. Which we had a notification. Riley even sent us an article letting us know that this was going to happen during this time frame.
Hey, don't record something important.
Yeah. What did we do?
Yeah. We did it anyway.
We did it anyway.
Yeah. Take that, Riley. No.
Anyway, so yeah, that's the end of my TikTok segment.
Okay. Great. Well, yeah, if you haven't checked us out yet, go to TikTok, Super Carlin Brothers. We just posted about how to get a perfect score on Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin.
Space Ranger Spin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Jay. So next thing I've got for you here is I have DNF'd a series.
Did not finish.
Did not finish a reading book series. And
let's see,
you know,
what failed you, Ben?
I hear people talk about doing this sometimes, and even, you know, just last night we were talking with the fellow GMA members, and they were talking about some books that they just couldn't get through themselves, and I was like, oh, okay, that makes me feel a bit better. But like like one of those series that I feel like has always sort of just like I never, for whatever reason, I just never picked it up in the first place was the Divergent Saga.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, I had earlier this year, I had read through the Hunger Games books, and I was like, man, you know, like I really like this story. Like I read it a long time ago and I thought it was good then, but I feel like now, like with so much more like world perspective and so much more time passed, I'm like, there's like a lot of like really good stuff in here. A lot of like interesting messaging, like the formation of the world and like even like the prequel edition to it. So I was like, this is great. This is super fun. And so I was sort of like riding that high, and I was like, you know what? Like maybe I need to give this Divergent Saga a chance and see whether or not like it has the same thing to offer. And you know, I wouldn't criticize, you know, in any capacity if this is something that you've enjoyed, but like as I was going through it, I was just like, I am not finding this story to be that interesting.
Oh, Divergent?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It largely just felt like it felt like the story almost to me felt like it would take these like gigantic like leaps, like where it's sort of like, you know, you've got these people and these factions, and like I sort of get the factions because everybody might like sort of like mentally associate with like this one, that one, or something. But like I think three of them, and this is like I've read the first two books completely. I was halfway through the third one and I finally was just like, I just can't keep going. But like there's Amnesty, Abnegation, and something else.
Candor.
The Candor starts. Yeah, there's another one that starts.
Dauntless.
With, like, that starts with a C. But like these are words that I feel like. Hang on one second. Factions from Divergent. I'm googling it. There we go. Erudite. Okay, so I didn't even realize Erudite started with an E. But like, so I'm like Erudite, Amnesty, and Abnegation are three of the five factions, and I always felt like they like Dauntless and Candor are the other two, and I've always felt like those were easy enough to like kind of keep straight because they sounded so specifically different. But like reading this, like just in story form. I at no point in time did I ever actually successfully assign any of these names to anything at all. Like, so at any point in time, it's like, oh, classic Amnesty move. And I was like, which one's Amnesty again?
Which one's that?
It's like, oh, that's something from Ariadite. It's like, wait,
huh?
I don't know which one that one was either. And like, for the other thing was like the selection of the names. I'm not just trying to like do like a book review of the Divergent series or anything, but like, I think that there are three characters named Tobias, Marcus, and Caleb. And for no reason that I can properly explain.
Why'd you say the same word three times, man?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, in my mind, like there are three completely different characters with three completely different relationships with the main character. And like, those are all distinct and everything. But like, it would be like, oh, something Caleb used to say. I'm like, wait, is Caleb Tobias? Or is that, which one's Marcus? Mm-hmm. Like I can never discern anything from anything in this story. And it was like, you know, even like when she like goes into training or whatever, and she's like learning all these new skills and stuff, as far as I could tell, it was like she was there for like a month, and at the end of like said month, it's like she was like in this position to like, I don't even remember my old ways now that I'm so assimilated to this new environment. And it was like, after a month? Like, it's like, that's not that long,
right?
You know, it's like I don't know if that's quite enough time to like have built all these brand new muscles and calluses and like the whole new worldview, and I don't even remember the way I used to do things. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I did not finish the book.
Yeah.
Should I mean, if anybody has a good reason to you know, that wants to like reach out and be like, Ben, give it a shot. You got to stick through it. The ending is what pulls the whole thing together.
Yeah. Or, so what are the, it's Allegiant, Convergent, and Divergent, Convergent, Allegiant. Is that it?
That sounds right.
That's it. I don't remember. I remember, man, I read these as audiobooks as well back when I worked at the concert venue.
Nice.
You know, back in those days. And
Insurgent.
Insurgent, not yeah. Convergent. Okay, the naming conventions in this book are only so-so. I do remember, yeah, I remember reading Divergent and thinking like, oh, okay, I see why people like it. It's got like the factions are kind of very like, they're very reminiscent of like Hogwarts houses, where it's sure. Like, oh, I could choose a thing to be in, so in that way it's kind of Harry Potter. And then it's like this post-apocalyptic world with like a female heroine, and in that way it's like very Hunger Games-y.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah. It sort of has some of those same vibes.
Yeah. But like I remember I also read the first two, and I think I did finish the third one, but I remember I was like mostly finishing it for the sake of finishing it. And I if you were to ask me the plot of it, I could tell you that there was a girl who joined Dauntless, but she was something called Divergent, which meant that she could have fit into like a bunch of different factions or something. Like they do a test to tell you which one you're in, but you still get to choose.
Yeah.
Is yep. That okay?
Right. Yeah. You still, I think you have to choose one of the ones that you have like the abilities for or whatever.
Oh, okay. So like you do a test and they're like, well, you can either be in Candor or Dauntless, and then you choose.
I think so.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. I can't even remember. I remember that she was Divergent, meaning that she could like choose all of them or something.
Yeah, I think she can choose three.
Three? Okay. Well, good for her. That doesn't even seem that impressive for like the chosen one, honestly. The chosen one should be able to choose all five to me. And then I could tell you started reading it and like it occurred to me that like I could not remember the main character's name. And like I remembered four. He was like the leader at Dauntless, or like the love interest at Dauntless or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then and you've told it to me since then. I'm like, Triss?
It's true. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's Beatrice is like her like long form, Triss for short.
Triss.
Yeah.
T-R-I-S-S.
Triss. To be honest, I'm not sure because I'm listening to it, so I don't know how they spell it.
Triss?
No, I think it's just Triss.
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 Okay, boy. Couldn't have even told you the main character's name. I remember they're just played by Shailene Woodley in the movies.
That is largely what I've been able to do the whole time, and for whatever reason, I still haven't been able to picture her as Shailene Woodley at all. Okay. So like as it unfolds, I have like no... I don't have good visuals for what any of the characters look like at all.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, but I can segue that though, because I did DNF it, and I was just sort of like, you know, someone please... Because that's the other thing too, is that I'm like, someone convince me. Like, I'm happy to be open to a world where it's like, it's worth seeing through. Uh-huh. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need some encouragement. So if it's there, let me know, whatever. But in the meantime, it leads me into my Wick of the Peak, which is one from like a year ago as well, which is just the book Project Hail Mary.
Oh, yeah.
By Andy Weir, which I'm reading again. And it was like, literally, I can't even tell you, like, I think that my mood may have been subdued over the past month as I've been reading the Divergent Saga.
What a bummer.
Because like, it's like the only thing, you know, like, because your time really throughout the day is sort of like chunked into these blocks. And like, you know, with like being a parent and stuff, like you don't necessarily have like a whole lot of time to yourself. So a lot of times for me,
no, you don't.
Like if I'm like, you know, mowing the lawn or Addie is down for a nap, like, you know, over the weekends or something, or my drives home, you know, like these are like the small instances where you sort of have like, you know, your moment, or like a shower, you know, that's the other one. You know, yeah. You go shower, you can like listen to a book for a few minutes. And I think the problem was is that for like the past month, it was like every moment I could claim, you know, just sort of like a little bit of like, you know, bend time, like just to like focus on. Whatever thing I'm supposed to be thinking about or whatever, yeah. I was filling with this story that was just like kind of not like captivating me at all. And so I think I was coming out of these situations like not in any way, shape or form, like refreshed. And so just over the past like 3 days, I've started listening to Project Hail Mary. And I'm like, oh my goodness. When I enjoy something that like I'm able to fill these pockets of time yeah. with, it literally reshapes like my whole outlook.
Right.
Like I'm like, I feel like I've been in a better mood for 3 days.
Because you've been reading Project Hail Mary.
Because I've been reading Project Hail Mary. Yeah. So which it's like one of these books, and the thing about it is that like it's like I want to tell people the premise. So like Alice's youngest sister just went to college, and what her sort of, you know, like hopeful trajectory is to possibly do something with space as time goes on. It's like a mechanical engineer. And over the summer, she was on vacation with us, and I was attempting to tell her about Project Hail Mary. And as I did so, I would get like a sentence and a half in before I'd be like, oh, but I can't tell you anything. Because like the moment I like everything you have, like everything about the story is a spoiler.
Right. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like you just have to read it. And you know what? You really just have to listen to it.
It's a really good listen.
It is specifically better to be listened to, I think. Not that I've read it hard copy, but there are aspects of it that I think need to be listened to. And so if you haven't read it, I would totally recommend Project Hail Mary myself. That's one I keep thinking, like, I'm going to listen to that one again soon. It's just as soon as I finish this breeze through of Name of the Wind.
Yeah,
which I, you know,
breeze through.
Yeah,
like a casual like 60 casual, hours of listening.
I know. I'm like, maybe I'll pause between Name of the Wind and The Wise Man's Fear to just do a re-listen of Project Hail Mary. But like, even now, that's still so far off because, you know, Foe's not even to the university yet. He's just now getting his wits about back him while he's in Tarbian. And I'm like, you know, it's about time, man. Just the depressing section of this book is long.
It is. Lengthy, which is why, like, whenever we were pitching it to people, we're like, you sort of gotta wait.
Gotta get to the university. I don't care even spoilering it for you that he's going to get to the university. I feel like you can see that coming a mile away, but just know that it's like several more miles than that still until you get there.
Yeah.
But man, there are certain things that I'm reading through at this time. I'm like, the archives are just a giant waste zone. There's just no way around it. Like, it just is. Like, there's also the thing I'm picking up on this time is that Abinthy keeps wanting to talk to Kvothe about something, and it seems specifically like what he wants to talk to him about is the Chandrian, and then he never gets a chance to do so. But I've never picked up on like how intent he is on talking to him about it.
Oh, I see.
And then he even like the inscription is like, remember your father's song. And it's like, but he only knows such a tiny portion of it. So that tiny portion of it must have been like pretty significant.
Yeah.
And like, but he barely says anything in that part of the song. So I'm like, there, Abinthy. What's your deal, bro?
Beware of folly.
I know. Like, what is that? He's got the sword that says folly. And it's like, is the folly the name of the sword? Do you get the sword because you committed folly? And this is a reminder. I don't know.
I know. Yeah. But, I mean, basically what I'm hearing, Jay, is that it, I mean, because I was like, we just went deep into the weeds for anybody who hasn't like read Name of the Wind. They're like, you guys may have lost me.
You may have lost me.
This was just like listening to a Divergent book. Boom.
Oh, boom.
Full circle.
Dude, I could, seriously though, Divergent is so, it's like, I have no idea what it's about, other than that there is a girl who is divergent, but who becomes dauntless anyway. And it's like, I want to say by the there were fun sci-fi things and like the faction things in the first book that made it interesting. And the second one, it was like, okay, this isn't as good as the first one, but it's like diet first one. And then by the third one, it's just like, we're just people shooting guns at an airport. And it was like, I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
So that's my experience with Divergent. Sorry if you loved it. Maybe you should try Twilight, Ben.
Maybe so. Yeah. I mean, really, I mean, any recommendations at any point in time? I have cracked a code in my brain, and I forever I've been like, oh, I'm only ever going to listen to things I've already listened to because it helps my brain to feel comforted by knowing the story through and through.
But oh my
I'm past that. I'm listening to the new stuff.
Okay, so this is kind of, I just like forever I've thought, like, you know, the we've been a few collabs with Mike Schubert, podcaster who did the podcast Potterless.
Yes.
And it like, I've always just loved the format of, obviously through the Gryffindor is just the opposite of that, but like his whole premise was that he had never read the Harry Potter books, but now he was a full-grown adult, and it was like, man, I wish I'd never read the Harry Potter books and could have done that podcast. Like,
I know. Yeah, as
like,
soon as I
what
heard
a great
it.
Idea if
amazing
only I,
concept
yeah, such an amazing concept. It's like, it's really too bad we've read them so much and now we're just doing the opposite. But it just occurred to me that we could totally do this with like Twilight, you know.
Oh, but yeah. Although,
like,
yeah.
Two grown men read Twilight for the first time.
Right. Because I know literally nothing other than the main character's name is Bella, and that apparently Sparkles is a thing.
Sparkle. I know Edward and Jacob, they're in there.
Do they drive really fast? Is that not a thing?
I don't know. If it is,
okay.
Know.
Yeah. So
I know that Bella has been what is the word? Lampooned for being just like the most boring, undesirable character that is causing so many love triangles for like no reason or something.
And okay, I did not even know that.
Couldn't
so
even tell
you
that.
Know more than me.
But, all right.
But you are
vampires.
Right. The thing that has occurred to me. So we started our new podcast through the Gryffindor, which thank you for listening. If you have already, if you haven't already, if you'd like to check it out, it's been really fun. The first 3-4 episodes by the time you hear this will be live. And that's on its own, available wherever pods are cast. But like the thing that I feel like has been really cool about venturing into those waters is that like you just started going deep into the deep end for Name of the Wind. And Name of the Wind is probably like one of my all time favorite things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are instances, like our good buddy Mike has read through the story a whole bunch of times. And so like when we were like backpacking, you know, last year, me and you and him were just like, we kept going through all of like our different like theories, and I was like, oh, but what about this? You know, and it was just so much fun. And similarly, there was like a day that we were like finishing setting up the set for Through the Gryffindor, and you and I and Ethan, the editor for the podcast here, delved into the exact same thing. And so we're all just like sort of sitting in the chairs for this Harry Potter read through podcast and discussing our Name of the Wind, like,
yeah,
fan theories, just like having like great quality discussion about subject matter that I'm sure other people would be interested in like being in on. And there's, I mean, it's just, it's endless. There's so much to say. And I'm like, this, I keep wondering whether or not there's like this bizarre trajectory. Like we always talk about with Super Carlin Brothers, at one point in time in the process, we had started making content on YouTube with some imagination as to like what that content would look like. And it was supposed to be some version of like sort of daily observational humor type stuff, maybe with a little bit of pop culture doused in there here and
right.
there or something like that. And eventually we sort of found like the fandom angle or concept or like discovery or something. And we were sort of like, man, you know, this works. We have a lot to say about this. You know, it's really fun. Like what a great like way to talk about things in the world that also is like, not like, it's not like harmful or controversial or anything like that. You know, it's like, this is awesome. But sometimes I wonder now, like as we've stepped into these like podcast waters, I'm like, is there any part of us that's like, would we do like, would it even like make sense to have just like multiple of these that we're doing?
Oh, like lots know? Of like read-throughs.
Lots of like read-throughs. Yeah. It's like, what if we became like book people?
We're just book. Yeah. What do you guys do? Like, I'm like a book podcaster. Like, it's like pick you, a series.
People be like, you must read a lot of books. And it's like, no. Like, I read the same books. Like a lot.
And then I also, there's some podcasts where I am reading books I haven't read before, but it takes me a couple years. So
yeah.
Like really slow.
Really.
Really. do not spoil Twilight for me, because I'm hard team Edward right now, but I'm afraid things are getting iffy. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't tell if I'm on the fence. Yeah. Yeah, no, so, yep, anyway, and there you go. Let us know. But otherwise, I would say the other thing is, like, you know, I read Mistborn earlier this year.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought Mistborn was pretty good.
I'm presently in a state of DNF for Mistborn.
Yeah.
Where I finished the first one, and I started Well of Ascension, and then what did I start listening to instead? Name of the Wind.
People are so annoyed with us. We're such like fanboys about this.
There's a section of TikTok that occasionally finds its way to my algorithm where it'll be like, these are the top, like, and it's clearly someone who's just like read a ton of fantasy books or whatever, and they'll be like, these are my top, you know, 10 or 15 fantasy novels of all time or whatever. And I always watch them because I'm always just like, where are you going to put Name of the Wind? And because, like, I know where I would put it.
at one.
And it is so funny to me because this series, it clearly holds, like, such a frustration about it not being finished that is, like, leaking into people's opinion about it as a book as a whole. And it always comes through. So it always lands in, like, the, like, if it's a top, like, 15 list, it'll land around, like, 7. That's almost always where it lands. If it's a top 20 list, it lands on, like, 7 or 8 or something.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always, like... But their critique is always just that, like...
The author hasn't finished.
It's always, like, it's just not finished yet. I've been waiting forever for it. But they'll always be like, but there's just no doubt. It's just such good world building, and it's, like, really good, and I really enjoyed it. And it's, like, there's always this, like, mix of... Or else that, like... It is clearly this thing in fantasy where, like, when it came out, it was the best thing ever written. And since then, it's been like, there's been like frustration associated with it, or they've just read up, like, there's this like refusal to admit how good it is because either it's not finished or because that would just be like too basic or something.
Well, and you know,
to be fair, I haven't read the 14 other books on their list, so
that's a good point, you know. Too, yeah, and which maybe we should, because maybe what we're doing is missing out on like a bunch of amazing stuff. What I will say, like a strong opinion that I feel like I'm slowly, I don't know if an opinion, perspective, maybe view or something, I don't share the frustration with the fact that it's not done.
No, me neither. Like, yeah, no,
like, because what I'm getting in the meantime, like they often say this about like vacations and stuff like that, but like a lot of times the great thing about vacation isn't even like the 7 days you spend at the beach. It's getting to look forward to the vacation for like the 2 months leading up to it, and just like knowing that like once you get there, you're gonna have like this good relaxing time. But like, there's no doubt about it, like, you know, like that time will come and go, and like, you know, it will eventually pass. And like, for me, I think what I have slowly realized, like, in the beginning I desperately wanted more because I wanted the answers. Like, I was like, I really want to know like what's going to be complete. But in the meantime, like, I feel like you and I and other people in my life who have been able to share this with, like, I have so much fun. Like, to me, the fun is like it is like wondering how it will end. Like, I mean, even for the Harry Potter books, I could go back and say, like, there's a huge part of me that wishes we did what we do now as those books were being released, because going into, you know, like Half-Blood Prince or Deathly Hallows, like, it would have been so much fun to be like predicting like what's going to happen next. And then like, sure, there is the eventual, like, how does it go? And how do you feel about like the decisions that were made and all the rest? And whether or not that colors your experience at all. But like, I don't know. Like, I feel like what I'm actually genuinely enjoying more than anything is the wondering.
Oh, I know. Like this is the thing. It's like, anytime it comes up in conversation, like, I've had it like float up randomly in conversation. I was like at a campfire situation a couple of weeks ago, and all of a sudden, just like without me bringing it up, Name of the Wind found its way into the conversation. I was like, what were you guys talking about? You guys want to talk about Name of the Wind? You know, I was like, no way, this is happening. Come on, let's go. I could talk about this all night.
I will be involved, you know, with this discussion.
I am here now. Hello, what's happening? Yeah, and it was just like, inevitably what actually is discussed is like the frustration that the third one's not out and he's never going to do it and blah, blah. And it's like, all right, shut up. Right. All right. Listen, look, let's talk about it. And you're not allowed to talk about that part of it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, like, just take that away from it. Take that away from it, and now let's talk about it. Because, like, that's not, that part's boring. We've had that conversation 200 times. No one cares.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Like, just do that over here. All right. Cool. So, what do you guys think about, like, Abinthy? You know, you think, what about Brayden? You think he's probably Cinder? Or, you know? Yeah.
Probably.
Just park your frustration with Rothfuss over here. He'll get to it. Okay.
Maybe.
A good story takes time. You know, we gotta wait for it. You can't. can't just start telling it right now. I got to go up to my room and think about it for like a couple hours.
Yeah, yeah,
or a couple of decades or something.
Right. My tinfoil hat theory is that, like, you know, what is hilarious to me about this concept, and I feel like you can talk about this pretty freely without being like too spoilery, and hopefully people who are listening are able to still follow like what we're saying. But like the concept of the story is that throughout all of the main character's adventures, one of his greatest tricks he's ever pulled off is escaping an inescapable situation by holding the story of his
experience of
his experience with this particular person captive. So he's like, the world will never know what my experience was like unless you let me free back out into the world. And it's much more profound than that, and like the circumstances are much more interesting and stuff like that. But like, either way, it is a way to get away from an inescapable situation, and it's part of like what brings the character notoriety. But like, he's telling the story way after the fact, and the way that the person who is getting him to tell the story is by literally using his own move against him.
Right.
And so now what we are finding out here in the present is that, like, literally the final installment of the saga is almost being held captive.
It is.
Against us.
I know.
And what it is doing in the meantime is breeding so much time for like speculation to occur, for like interest to be found, like for like frustration to be like had and lost. And like, it's wild. Even in the very beginning of the story, the main character's own father is writing a song, and he specifically describes how, like, when you are writing a new song, the people who are around you who know you're working on a new song, there's like the initial period of like enticement, entrapment, like where people are like curious and whatever. And as time goes on, that just grows and grows. But then, yeah, after too long, people get mad. Yeah. And that is exactly what has happened.
What's happening.
The themes of the story in a meta way are happening to the actual creator of the universe in real time, in the real world.
It's, and it's like he's protecting against it by writing it down.
Yes.
He's Arliden, which just means he's going to be struck down by the Chandrian at some point.
Probably.
Spoilers.
Maybe. Yeah. So anyway, this is my deep dive into the literary minds of our age.
Right. Yeah. So there you go. Whenever you're ready, man, just release it. In the meantime, there's The Narrow Road Between Desires coming out this December. You know, I'm excited for that. I'm going to read it. That's what people are like, he's never going to write it. And I'm like, look, there's literally new content coming out this year. Okay, so let's just pump the brakes on nothing's happening.
That's good.
We have to be thankful for what we're getting. All right?
Yeah.
You know?
How about that?
Of course, they pushed the bait back on that one. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's already out there, though. So
we'll see what happens. Ours are pre-ordered. But anyway, guys, as ever, we want to thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you would like to find a way to support the show, we would greatly appreciate it. We have our Q4 quarterly merch officially announced. We have the prototype already in hand, so you can get an exact look at what you will be getting for the Q4 merch quarter cycle for 2023. We're doing D&D again. We did it last year. We had a blast with it. For that set, we recorded an episode of D&D like with like video and everything from multiple angles. It was so much fun with the entire crew here at Super Carlin Brothers. We had an amazing time in accompanying the episode itself. We also had a batch of custom dice that we made, which was really fun. This year, we are going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be recording another episode in a brand new set of characters and realm and everything. So it'll be like a whole new concept. But for this round, we are doing this amazingly cool, it's a rocks glass, like in concept, if you're familiar with like that shape of drinking vessel. But if you can imagine like a small, like a short glass, but in the side embedded into it as if it was like frozen halfway through being like fired into the glass is a metal D20 mm-hmm. with a 20 facing out. So it's just this like really cool looking glass tumbler cup thing. And it, of course, will have the Popcorn Culture logo there laser etched into it. I'm super happy with it. We've got pictures of it on Patreon. You don't have to be a patron to be able to see what it looks like if you'd like to scope it out, but it is really cool. I think it's like one of my favorite things that we've ever done in the past. So if you'd like to sign up to receive one of those, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. Otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.